In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst. He is with us. Last night in our catechism class, we talked about prayer with a particular focus on the heart and the spiritual center of our being. And one of the notions that we discussed was one way that you could think of it is, of course, in the temple, in the times of the Hebrews of Israel, there was in the temple the Holy of Holies. And that was where the very presence of God rested. And you had to go only, the priest would only go behind this veil once a year, you know, to do the various ceremonies that were required. In the Christian church, modeled after somewhat the synagogue and the temple, we have the place behind the iconostasis, the altar, the Holy of Holies. And we're meant to understand this not just simply as a physical external reality, but this is supposed to also give us a concrete expression of our own personal spiritual lives. That within our own selves, there is a holy place, the Holy of Holies, a veil that we can enter into to stand in the very presence of God. And of course, the problem with this analogy is that, at least in our country and at least in modern society, is that many people are often unaware that they have hearts at all. They're unaware of where to meet God. They're unaware of how to actually get rid of enough distractions, external distractions or internal distractions, to actually stand in the presence in their own heart and to be in the presence of God. And also to add to this, on top of that, that any type of sin, any type of break in our communion with God calluses our hearts. Anytime we do something willfully that is apart from the will of God, whether it be the most egregious sins to the slightest sins, our hearts become hardened. They build up a resistance. And so they block our entry, and of course, they even block our ability to sense the very presence of God in our own souls to greater or lesser extent. And so when we talk about things like morality, about being righteous, about doing the right things, about living a faithful life, we're ultimately talking about the basic backgrounds that provide a context for us to encounter God within our own souls, for the Christian. For the one who is righteous doesn't harden their hearts. And in today's gospel, we have what is essentially a righteous person. And we can say that he has fulfilled the commandments, and Jesus does not challenge that. He does not challenge this man and say that he hadn't fulfilled the law and that he wasn't righteous. He told him that he lacked only one thing, and that was that he had to go and sell all his riches, and that the man walked away sorrowful. In a very basic way, we can understand that basic morality or the basic fulfilling of the Ten Commandments for Christians is not enough. That we're never simply called to be good people, to simply live moral lives. That there is always something in Christ that requires more of us. When Jesus goes through Matthew, he says, you know, it used to be the case that adultery was a sin, but now if you look at a woman with lust, you've committed adultery. If you've held anger in your heart, you've committed murder. So he's taken those very basic, physical, concrete commandments, and he's expanded them into our spiritual lives so that our whole being would be dedicated to Christ, dedicated to God. So that with our whole being we'd worship. You know, in the Old Testament we'd say, give 10%, give your tithe financially, 10% of your income. In Christianity, The typical phraseology would be that God no longer calls for 10%, he calls for 100%. He calls for 100% of your livelihood, your life, your love, and everything. Do you know what that means pragmatically within the church? Pragmatically, it means we give 2%, statistically speaking. And this isn't a criticism or a sermon about money, but this is a direct statement of something within our community, within the Orthodox Church at large, that is a challenge. Because if we're not doing the basics, how are we to even talk about the advanced things? And we know since the beginning of the early church that Paul complaining that, well, I should be feeding you with meat, but you don't get it, so I have to feed you with milk like a baby. Being a moral, upright, righteous person who is conscientious towards others, who is prayerful, is very basic. I was writing a newsletter and thinking about it this week, but coming to church regularly is very basic. I mean, it's just fundamental. It's not even something that's argued about in the New Testament, except for in one line where it says, forsake not the assembly. It's very basic. Giving of ourselves, in the Old Testament, 10%, tithes, whether it's tithing of your talents, treasures, or the gifts that you've been given by God, was very basic. And all these things were very basic, and then Christ came along and he blew it away and he said, God wants more of you. And that's exactly what he did to the rich young ruler today. He says, I want more of you. Go and sell your riches. Get rid of it, give it, and follow me. And the rich young ruler went away sorrowful. Now the rich young ruler had skin in the game. He had lived a righteous life. So imagine how much more challenging this is for us if we're not living in some state of basic righteousness. If we're not basically trying to be Christian, if we're going out and getting intoxicated, if we're going out and doing things we know are obviously sinful, we're not doing basic righteousness. And it always comes back to, we have to remember the beginning of the sermon, that this isn't necessarily about being God being angry with us or these. It's about the state of our hearts. And if our hearts are not kept in a certain state, we can't have communion with God. And if we can't have communion with God, we can't expect it to go from grace to grace, to grow, to excel, to become more than we are, to transcend ourselves, to be forgiven, to be released from the bondages that we have. Our hearts have to be purified. In today's epistle, the Apostle Paul says, walk circumspectly, for the days are evil. Transitioning back to something I said earlier, as Christians, we often aren't doing the very basics of the Old Testament. So that means, in the Apostle Paul's time, there was this question about being somewhat what we would call liberal, and then what we would call a more zealous or fundamentalist. That some, when they came to eating food from idols, were so offended that Paul says he wouldn't eat meat if it causes them to lose their salvation. And some were so given to their freedom that they basically became libertine and thought that they were beyond the commandments. This same struggle, because we no longer in Christianity deal with very 10 basic rules, because the rules have been expanded, or the spirit of the rules has been expanded, we often throw out the baby with the bathwater. And we often either resort to a pharisaical type of fundamentalism, where we're worried about jotting every I, but we miss the whole message, which is about loving our enemies and being transformed in our heart. Or we go the opposite sense. Since Jesus fulfilled the law, nothing is required of us. And so we give nothing, we do nothing, and ultimately, The end of it is nothing, because there's nothing accomplished by that. To walk circumspectly means to acknowledge that we live in evil times, to acknowledge the temptations, to acknowledge our own personal dispositions within our souls, and to begin to look for a way that we can fulfill those commandments of Christ, to love our enemies, to love God and our neighbor as ourselves, to transcend ourselves, and ultimately to purify our hearts so that we can stand in the very presence of God. For the rich man, that was giving away his wealth. I don't know what it is for each individual one of you, but each individual one of us will be challenged, is challenged by the gospel. So I would ask you to assess your own life. Yes, we all have sins. It's a basic confession of our faith. Yes, we all fall short. But are you trying to live